Ladies and gentlemen, Hal Linden.
So what the devil is Barney Miller doing with the Jewish National Fund? The answer, the simple answer is they asked me, and I said yes. So I have been indeed speaking for the Jewish National Fund everywhere for the almost 20 years now. It's probably, 19 years. I do indeed answer the telephone in New York. That's really the hardest part of the job. I mean, I live in California. Every morning I got to fly to New York just to answer the telephone. It's crazy. So what is Hal Linden doing with the Jewish National Fund? Let me reintroduce myself. My name is Harold Lipschitz. I was born in the Bronx, New York, a long, long time ago. I come from a Jewish family, not particularly religious, not particularly secular, kind of halfway in there. My mother kept kosher. She, you know, did all the lit the candles and everything like that. But I always felt it was cultural, or that's the way she was taught, and that's what she did. You know, little side story. She used to put raw onions in all the salads. I was a little kid. I really couldn't take them. I mean, they were not Vidalia onions or Maui onions. They were Gazinta onions. I mean, whoa, make you cry onions. Anyway, I used to put it out of the thing. Monday mornings, I used to go to school, and all the kids would be telling me which Chinese restaurant they went to the night before, right? In the Bronx, Sunday night. Chinese food. Well, we didn't go. It wasn't kosher. Eventually, I went home to my mother. I said, all my friends go to Chinese restaurants on Sunday. Can't we go to a Chinese restaurant? She said, you wouldn't like it. It's got onions. My mother had a terrific sense of humor. Hopefully, I inherited some of it. What I inherited from my father was Zionism. My father was an ardent Zionist from the moment he came to America. He was the president of the Harlem Zionist Organization. He was the co-founder of a Zionist support organization then called Order Sons of Zion, which exists today under the name B'nai Tzion. He was one of the founders. He had a wonderful way of, he was a quiet man, didn't talk much, but he had a wonderful way of communicating with me. Next to my bed was a bookcase, and anything he wanted me to learn about went into that bookcase. He knew this curious little kid would open the books. That's how I learned the difference between boys and girls. He had a terrific book, pictures, oh, it was great. And he also had a book, I can still see the picture on the back of it, of Theodor Herzl leaning on the balcony rail about Zionism, which made for interesting discussions between an ardent Zionist and an 8-year-old assimilationist. I couldn't understand who needed another country? I was doing fine playing stickball in the street with my friends, Italian friends, Irish friends. We had no problem. America was good enough for me. Of course, the advent of World War II and the information we found out about what was going on in Europe eventually broke me down. The fascinating thing was the thing that really brought me over the top in terms of Zionism was, I remember specifically, was the action of Great Britain after the war, when all the displaced persons were trying to get to Israel and The British wouldn't let them. They had made the political decision to, the oil decision to support the Arab population, and they would not allow these displaced persons who had gone through what they had gone through, wouldn't let them in. So by that time, I was on my father's side. And thereby, when JNF approached me, I was fertile field for to say yes. But I really didn't know exactly what JNF was doing. I knew its original function, as you heard, was to indeed purchase the land of Israel, and they did. When the partition of Israel was ordained by the United Nations, it was JNF maps that they used to decide where the land owned by Jews were and not owned. And that's how that first line was established, because of the work of JNF. I certainly remember the blue boxes. Everybody had a blue box. I can physically remember there was a blue box on the counter in the butcher shop. And I can physically remember my mother, when she got her change, would take the pennies out and put it in my hand, and she'd lift me up so that I could put the pennies in the blue box. Still physically remember that. But I didn't know what JNF was doing nowadays, so off we went to Israel. It was an education. This was right when I started. It was a real education. First of all, with those, every way you looked, there was signs that said, another KKL project funded by Jewish National Fund. KKL, of course, being Keren Kayemeth Yisrael, which is the organization in Israel which actually does the projects that JNF funds. And we went all through Israel. They showed me things like security roads. They said, we're going to go visit security. I said, what's a security road? Does anybody know what a security road is? I'll tell you. At one point, on the northern border, on the Lebanese border, there was a bunch of kibbutzim that all the kids went to one school. And the school buses brought the kids to the school. And Hezbollah was using the school buses as target practice. There was not about to be a military response. So what they did was they went in there and they changed the roads. They dug them deep enough where you couldn't see the buses as they passed by, or they built up big hills in front of the roads, and they made the road from the kibbutz to the school safe for the kids to go to school. That's a security road. And that was JNF, Jewish National Fund. And then we went on to all the historical sites that they're rebuilding for tourist purposes, and the parks. Of course, we had to plant a tree. Of course, JNF became famous for planting trees. And if you've been to Israel, I don't have to tell you. You always know when you're in Israel. If it's green, it's Israel. If it's brown, it's Palestine, right? And I don't mean to denigrate tree planting. Israel is the only country in the world that ended the 20th century with more trees than it began. The only country in the world. And that's those trees. So if you want to plant a tree, call me up in New York. I answered the phone. How many millions? I forgot. I don't have the number. 240 million trees planted. Do you know why they planted them, by the way, or how it started? It's a very interesting story. When Israel, when they bought the land in the early part of the 20th century, it was under Turkish rule. And by Turkish law, in order to retain a piece of land, to own a piece of land, you had to work it. You had to do something on it. You just couldn't let it sit. Well, they had land, but they didn't have settlers at the time. So once a year, they would send in a few people and they would plant a tree. And that was considered working the land so that they could retain possession of the land. And they discovered that planting trees does wonders for the land. And that began the tree project where Israel is so green and beautiful. Then we saw some of the parks and recreation areas. Interesting, you know, it's hard to get excited about a picnic bench, but it was important. When you live in these little towns that are stuck all together, there's no place for the kids to play. Putting playgrounds and picnic areas in the parks is really important. It gives that's the quality of life that you need. The thing that really got to me on that trip, though, was the way Israel was dealing with water. I don't have to tell you, water is, in Israel, it's a desert, let's face it. But the work that they were doing was absolutely fascinating. And obviously works. They have actually increased the water supply of Israel. Now, how do you do that? Think about it. What do you do? A rain dance? What do you? How do you make it bigger? But by studying the problem and by finding responses. I remember we visited a water laboratory, I guess, research area, and they were doing research. They had about 4 or 5 boxes of strawberries, little boxes of strawberry plants, one on top of the other, hanging, one on top of one below the other. And the experiment was, how few drops of water could you put into the top box that would go down and flow through each of the boxes and still grow strawberries in the bottom box. How few drops of water. That's how delicate that situation is. We also visited the reservoirs and the catch basins. Israel gets rain, but usually it hits hard pan and runs off into the Mediterranean. And they developed these catch basins and dams to contain the water to catch and use the whatever rain does fall. And of course, you know, the Negev is planted. All the water that's used in Negev agriculture comes from the big cities up north where they take wastewater, recycle it, and ship it down to the Negev. It was an amazing trip. So amazing that my wife, of blessed memory, who was not Jewish, became a founding member of the Sapphire Society. I remember when one of the first projects of the Sapphire Society was a city in the Negev called Tzuqim. They were building it from scratch, a brand new city. And when they sent her a picture of the big stone plaque that led into the city with the names of the founding members of the Sapphire Society who were supporting the development of that city, there was her name right up on top, and what a thrill it was to her. So much so that when our 50th anniversary came around, I said to her, what do you want to do? You can go on a cruise, you want a big party, what do we should celebrate 50 years, you know? She said, let me think about it. And then a few days later, she says, I know what we're doing. We are all going to Israel. We're taking all four kids, all my kids, all my grandchildren, and we're all going to... I want your grandchildren, she said, to see your passion, to see why you've spent so much time speaking for an organization like JNF. And off we went. Terrific trip. I got to tell you, the best. I've been to Israel many times, but that was the greatest. There were 18 of us in a bus. JNF laid out the itinerary for us, and there were by the way, it's a terrific trip for kids. I mean, we went to kids had a terrific time. I'm talking 3-year-olds and 5-year-olds. And one of the places we visited, of course, well, was a reservoir near the Jordan River and dedicated to my father. I've always felt that my work with JNF was really an extension of his. So it was a thrill to put his name on a reservoir to do the work of JNF. At the end of that tour, the last day, I think, was Yad Vashem. And by this time, my wife was in a wheelchair. And my then 10-year-old grandson was pushing her around. And they were going through Yad Vashem. And now, let me preface this. My wife was not Jewish. My brother married a non-Jewish girl. We both relatively raised our children as secular Jews, let's put it that way. So that was the situation when he was pushing my wife around, and they got to a section of the museum which described how the Nazis decided who was Jewish. Of course, if your mother was Jewish, you were a Jew. But there was also one little section there that said, and the boy read this. By the way, this is all secondhand. This is what my wife told me later. I was not there. She said, he read this section which said, if you had brown eyes, you had to prove you weren't Jewish. And he said to my wife, I have brown eyes. Would they have taken me? When we got back to America, my son, his father, called me and said, Justin has decided he wants to be bar mitzvah. From a particularly secular household. It was a wonderful bar mitzvah, I must tell you. Probably the most reformed bar mitzvah you ever saw in your life. However, consider he only started studying for it. He was 10. That's late. You know, he didn't have the background. So a lot of tutoring and a lot of helping from the rabbi when he was doing the bar mitzvah. But it was joyful and wonderful. Now understand, it struck me not because I'm a Jew, and I was happy that he was bar mitzvahed. Again, I'm basically a secular Jew. But a bar mitzvah is not only a community saying to a boy, welcome to our community. You now have the rights and responsibilities of a member of this group, this tribe. But it's also a boy saying to the world, call me Jew. That got to me. That got to me. And I'm telling you, that inspiration came from that visit to Israel, where where they saw what it was to be part of a community, what it was to identify as a Jew. And that's why Barney Miller is still schlepping around the country, talking to you, to try to share with you the passion that I feel every time I do anything for JNF. Because it's, first of all, one of the few organizations that does things that you can put your hands on. And you can even specify exactly what you want done with your contributions. That's an amazing thing. And you can go over there and you can touch it. You can go to Ale Negev, where they're taking care of children who would be lost in a society if they didn't have a place like that. Kids who are disadvantaged and incapable of handling it themselves. When you go to Sidrat, and there's an indoor playground which was built specifically because of the rockets from Gaza. You have to be able to get to a safe place in, 15 seconds, something like that. And the kids couldn't play outdoors because they couldn't. So they built an indoor playground with safe rooms, and everything is designed exactly so they can be 15 seconds from that safe room. It's truly an inspiration every time I go. I'm leaving again in at the end of May. Yearly, I lead a group to, hey, you're welcome to join us. But come to think of it, we take a senior group every this year. It'll be in May into June. It's a senior group. It's not that much stair climbing. So, you know, if we get up a little later, it's okay. If we get back to the hotel, it's all right. You know what I mean? But it's been a successful mission, and B, a wonderful mission, meeting all the people from all over the country. So you're all welcome. We're leaving this year. Talk to Laura. I'm sure she'll help you out. Thank you for allowing me to talk to you. My function is to try to share with you that part of my life that has become quite passionate, which is support. Certainly the nation of Israel, if it ever needed our support, it needs it more than ever. And JNF actually does things. Go over there. Buy yourself a reservoir. Or a park. Plant a forest. Be a part of it. It really will make your life. Thank you.